Hello and welcome to That's a Thing, a sometimes belated, already outdated guide to your teens, tweens, and everything under 20. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Karen, and we're a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB.
And I have not hosted properly this podcast in ages, so it's nice to fully be back and doing all of the work again.
It's really nice to have you back doing all the work again. Thank you.
It's fun. So I have a bit of investigative journalism, let's say, the last few months. We're going to do a whole expose. We're going to get sued by a big company. The podcast is going to completely fall apart, and then we're going to turn it into a major motion picture. So I'm really hyped. The company we're talking about is called Vector Marketing. And if you have kids, it's possible that your kids have worked for them. And if you were ever a kid, it's possible you worked for them, because they specifically target teenagers to hire as sales representatives.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do they sell?
They sell this thing called Cutco knives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I have some personal experience with them, let's say. So this episode's a bit of a vendetta, and we'll get into that later.
I just want to say on the getting sued thing, if you show malice, it makes it worse. So we might have to sprinkle some allegedlies and stuff. But you have, like you said, you have a real life lived experience of your own, and so you can talk about that.
So I can complain all I want. I like to call it baby's first MLM, because it targets teenagers to sell things, and there are some similarities it might not want to exist. So to understand what is and isn't scam-like about Vector, I think we need to first understand what an MLM is, because it's very much a art of the internet generation in terms of really refining the effectiveness of the MLM. Mom, what is an MLM?
Multi-level marketing.
Yes.
And so it is the kind of business, in quotation marks. Oh, it's a business. It's a big business. It's just the question is who makes the money. But it is where you recruit other people to come and sell something, and then you make a cut of their cut, right?
Yes, yes. And MLMs are definitely not pyramid schemes. You can tell they're not pyramid schemes because they always say so on their company websites, which in no way indicates that they have been accused of being pyramid schemes multiple times.
And a pyramid scheme, to be clear, what that is set up so that only the early entrance into the thing can ever make money, and it's that you pay the old people with the new people's money until the thing collapses.
Yeah. And the main difference between an MLM and a pyramid scheme is a pyramid scheme is just investment. You're investing your money into the business that doesn't exist, and then you get paid by the people who invest below you until there are literally no more people to bleed money from, and then the bottom layer just gets no money. Whereas an MLM will take this structure and add an aspect of commission sales. So it's definitely a business because there's a product involved. Mm-hmm. It conveniently skirts around anti-pyramid scheme laws, which I'm sure was completely accidental and not by design, because those products are technically being sold. I'm allowed to complain about MLMs as a thing because then I'm not naming any specific brands that are MLMs, and therefore you can't sue us. Anyway.
Although in the interests of fairness, I might say that, well, I mean, they're terrible, right?
Yeah.
They just are terrible, but it's not illegal to do them.
No. Perfectly legal. Completely legal. Not good, but legal. Okay. Upon entering an MLM, sales associates are typically asked to purchase a starting amount of the product to sell. And that's important. We're going to earmark that. You have to pay for your product if you're in a normal MLM. They're typically low quality and overpriced products, which makes sales very difficult. And you'll usually have to purchase a certain amount of stock each month in order to retain your membership. So that means that a lot of people end up with like garages full of very bad soup that they can't sell, because they have sunk so much money into the business that they have to keep buying and keep buying and keep buying. So there's a lot of dangers to being in an MLM if you don't know what you're doing. And the real profit from an MLM, like you said, does come from that downline, the people below you who you recruit into the company, because you'll get a bonus for it. So a lot of MLMs will have a sort of tagline something like, if you recruit five people, they recruit five people, and then they recruit five people, and you'll be rich in no time.
Yeah.
Which implies that you aren't already at the bottom of the thing and have to, like, claw your way up with however many people are left in the world who are willing to join the pyramid scheme. Not necessarily. It's not a pyramid scheme, but, like, that part of it is a pyramid scheme a little bit. So that leads to many sales associates desperately trying to recruit friends, family members, and Facebook friends they haven't spoken to in 15 years into the business. So the internet doesn't like this very much. Like, internet culture, very anti-MLM, and we're going to talk about that later as well.
Although I would be shocked if the internet didn't cause MLM to go through the roof, because, like you said, all of a sudden it's really easy to find a girl that you
absolutely
went to high school with
completely
20 years ago.
Yeah. So I like to use this allegory for the downline in MLMs. Being in an MLM is like standing in line for a store that hasn't opened yet. As people line up behind you, you may feel like your position has improved, as though you're moving up. However, there's the exact same number of people in front of you as there always were, and the sense of progress is really an illusion. You're not going anywhere. There are just people who are worse off behind you now. So it's like weird Schadenfreude more than anything. Popular MLMs, which are definitely legal and fine, include Herbalife, Amway, Jamberry, and Girl Guides of Canada. Just kidding, Girl Guides doesn't pay its salespeople. I have done so many years of Girl Guides. I'd be great for any of these companies if I didn't think they were terrible.
Okay, Girl Guides of Canada is not an MLM.
No.
It's not a pyramid
scheme. It's not for profit.
And if
it's
you buy
fine
the cookies,
and very nice.
Good things will happen.
Yeah, support your local six-year-olds in their cute uniforms. I miss those days. So I want to get into how vector marketing is similar and different, and how intensely it targets people in my demographic. But first, let's have an ad from an ethical business or group of people, because we need happiness in our lives.
These people are so ethical. So this is good. This will be our little palate cleanser before we go back into the whatever this is.
Nightmare,
yeah. This episode of That's a Thing is brought to you by the Edmonton Community Foundation, which
sounds ethical.
They are so ethical. It acts as a bridge between donors and charities to help create a strong, vibrant community for generations to come. One of the ECF's many awesome projects is the Well Endowed podcast. Hosts Andrew Paul and Elizabeth Bonkink conduct interviews with various people working to make our city better. And they also commission pieces from other storytellers, such as friend of the show, Chris Chang and Phillips.
Yes.
Of Let's Find Out, who's been doing regular history bits on the Well Endowed podcast, which is delightful.
Super delightful and ethical.
And utmost ethics are involved in anything that Chris is involved in. Another cool thing on the Well Endowed podcast is a special series called It Takes a Community, which is produced by Hunter and Jacqueline Cardinal of Nehewin. Hunter sits down with prominent Edmontonians to talk about the communities and people that have helped shape them. And we're big fans of him, right?
Yes, we are.
And you should meet his sister, because she's also awesome.
I've, like, seen her from a distance and not conversed. That's, like, the same thing for me. That's how I meet all of your friends.
Next time I'll introduce you.
Okay.
You can find all of that goodness at thewellendowedpodcast.com.
Rad. Back to vector marketing. Like we said before, it is the sales company behind the high-end kitchen knife brand Cutco. And it's a brand that's been around since the 1950s. So this is old school. And according to their website, 85% of their salespeople are students.
Wow. So this is like built in from the beginning, baked in, and probably sold to students as a great entry level opportunity.
Yeah, hardcore. And it's 100% by design that it's students. Also, they keep saying they're very diverse and then saying, and also 85% of their salespeople are students. So I guess we're very diverse except in age. So good website design. Vector states that it's a single-level company. Again, they have to state it on their website, which in no way implies they've been accused of being an MLM multiple times. It is technically true. They are a single-level company, I will say that. There is no integrated downline, which is what makes multi-level marketing multi-level. We'll touch back on this later. Vector has a presence in Canada, the United States, and Puerto Rico. I always jump into Spanish accents when I'm saying Spanish names, because I've taken Spanish since, like, grade 4, so I'm very sorry to everybody. On their website, Vector states that it has the company vision to be universally recognized as the premier student opportunity in Canada. Jazz hands.
She actually did jazz hands.
I did actually do jazz. If I say jazz hands, you better believe I'm doing jazz hands, okay? I'm a theater kid. But why do you think they would target students specifically, Mom?
Because they're go-getters and they're enthusiastic and they need money.
That sounds nice. Like, the thing is, before cell phones and internet access, Vector used to send representatives to wait outside of high schools on graduation day. Like, they've always done this. They'd hand out envelopes containing applications to be filled out to become part of the company. They've always targeted teens. I have a few theories about this. I'm drawing from my Girl Guides experience here. You have contacts when you're a teenager. Your family feels the need to support you. So if you get into a company where you're selling $500 knife sets, then your grandparents are probably going to try to be supportive of that, and they're going to buy the thing. So are the friends of your parents. So are the parents of your friends. Like, you have a lot of people you can draw from there.
There's a fair amount of guilt tripping that you can count on.
Yeah, adults feel obliged to support young people. So you can always, like, play on that. And then you sell a bunch of knives if you're doing it right. There's also availability because you aren't working any sort of job. So you have that access. You can work around vacations because it's remote sales. And then you're just there to do the job. And they like having that for sure guaranteed availability to do stuff. And then there's a lot of naivete involved. It's often going to be your first job. That's kind of what they're aiming for. So you aren't going to recognize poor business practices or understand how to manipulate the system in order to increase your own profit. You're probably going to be gullible and trusting to adult supervisors and also peer pressured by your fellow sales folk who are also in your age demographic. Like, if you're working with your friends, then it's going to be harder to leave a company that isn't working for you, right?
Right.
So they kind of get you in the vice grip that way. Vector makes profit, in my opinion. My opinion, by the way, allegedly. Don't sue us. Anyway, they make their money by paying their employees less money than the labor being invested is worth. Because how you make money for Vector is you have to set up a sales appointment with the person you're selling to. So say you're selling to your grandparents. You have to set up that appointment, then you have to have that appointment and show off the knives and help your grandparents buy it. Whether or not they buy it, Vector will pay you. But you're spending all of that time setting up appointments with everybody that you're going to meet with. And eventually you're going to start running out of people to sell to because they don't really have like a door-to-door program. And also, how many people do you know that need kitchen knives, Mom?
Well, I don't know because I'm not a culinary person, but we have like too many. None
exactly.
of them are good, but we have too many.
If it's a married couple, guaranteed they have too many kitchen knives. Like, that's a wedding present classic, right? So most of the people who you know are probably pity buying your knives because people have knives. And college students who don't have knives can't really afford a $500 set of knives.
Is that really what it costs?
They go up to $500. Okay. Yeah. That's the set that you're selling to people.
And then, but if they say, oh, that's too expensive, then you have some.
Then you can downgrade and downgrade and downgrade. But like, that's the one they're trying to sell you. They used to charge people for the demonstration kit you need for this. They have stopped doing that, which is good. You just borrow the kit and then use it to show. And then when you leave the company, you give the kit back. So good job for you guys for that. I'm very, like, it's a very bad business practice a lot of MLMs have that Vector has avoided. So happy for that. But yeah, very few people actually profit well from working for Vector, even though they market themselves as paying you a lot of money. Like, they ambush you with how well it looks like this is paying. But again, that naivete comes in and you aren't accounting for how much labor you're putting in and how it's not set hours and how it's only by appointment and everything. And you get really caught up in that stuff. And a lot of that's by design or not designed to be very employee friendly.
And are you an actual employee or are you an independent contractor?
It is vague. You're working for Vector, but you get paid on commission.
Okay.
So you're like part of the sales team, you're a sales associate. That's the kind of wording they like to use.
And what percentage of that $500 sales should you make it, do you get?
It varies the way they make how much you get paid extremely vague. Like, I've been on their company forever and I keep getting like different numbers and amounts, and like the messages they send out give different numbers and amounts. And they'll say like, oh, and there are ways for you to make more if you use these incentives and everything. So how much you actually get paid kind of gets lost behind the smokescreen. But because you aren't buying the $500 product from them, you don't make the full $500 when you sell that product. That product doesn't become yours to sell.
Right.
So it's different from an MLM that way as well.
Yeah.
So I would like to talk about my personal experience / vendetta / that thing we put in earmark there about the pyramid scheme in a minute. But first, let's talk about another very ethical thing.
Yeah. Well, I know it's ethical because I'm part of it. So I hope. This episode of That's a Thing is also brought to you by Taproot Edmonton, your source for curiosity-driven coverage of our city cultivated by the community. So, Elizabeth, as you know, Taproot is my other adventure in local media.
Yes.
Which Mac Mail and I are building together with the help of a lot of talented people who care about local journalism.
Care deeply about local journalism.
Yes, to a fault. And Taproot publishes weekly roundups on a variety of topics, including arts, which is curated by Fonda Mithrush of I Don't Get It, which is a fellow member of the Alberta Podcast Network. And we also just brought on board Paul Cashman to curate the business roundup. And I worked with Paul at the Edmonton Journal for a long time, and I'm so excited to be able to work with him again.
Welcome to the team, Paul.
You can get one or two weekly roundups for free. If you want more, you can become a Taproot member, and then you can get as many as you want, plus other perks, for just $10 a month or $100 a year. Learn more at taprootedmonton.ca.
Rad. Okay, so my experience with vector marketing. Here we go, story time.
Because people might be wondering, like, Elizabeth, why have you got a vendetta against these people? Why are usually you talk about weird things on YouTube or other social media? Like, what is up with this?
Okay, so Vector has been hitting me up in the DMs, shall we say.
Ew.
Yeah. So as a high school student in the cell phone age, you tend to give out your phone number to a lot of people who you've worked with on a group project once or were in a, like, extracurricular thing with. And you will not talk to these people regularly, but they will have your phone number. So how Vector deals with having a downline without having a downline is it pressures its sales associates into giving out phone numbers for people they think would be quote-unquote good for the business. And so I received this message on my phone. And I'm not reading the message from my phone, but they use a copy-paste message, so it doesn't really matter. This is the message, and I'm reading word for word a message another person got that is word for word the same as the message I got. Hi, Elizabeth. This is random name. I work with person you know who had some nice things to say about you. And then they will show a picture that they took of the person who you know to prove that they didn't just randomly get your number. Which is actually really creepy because then you just get a picture of a person you've talked to twice standing with a person you've never seen before. I'm not sure they understand the optics completely. It does not pass Turing test. Anyway, our office has some summer openings, so we asked the team if they knew anybody they would recommend, which is how I got your number. Of course, I know that the person who gave me this number is a person I worked on a group project with once, so they know nothing about who I am as a person and definitely didn't think of me as a person who's like great for the job because they have not seen my work ethic beyond panic projects due tomorrow, which is not what you want for your company at all, by the way. I'm not a stable person to hire. Don't hire me.
Please hire her, but not to sell knives for a weird company.
Anyway, then they say, if your schedule is full, you can ignore this, and I apologize for intruding. But if you want to learn more, click the link below for the position description. It's flexible around school or other jobs. The people are fun and the pay is pretty solid. Then they leave a link. I did not reply to this immediately because I thought it was weird and bad. And they said if your schedule is full, you could ignore it, right? Like they give you permission to do that. Then I get a message the next day saying, sorry if I'm blowing up your phone, Elizabeth. Anyway, just wanted to make sure you weren't interested. Here's the link again. And I'm like, okay, so you've lied to me directly to my face already. Good start. And if you read up about the company from people who've actually dealt with it online, they will not stop texting you. They will say they'll stop texting you. They won't. So the best thing you can do if you get this message, block the number. And then that leads you to the question of, do I chew out the person who gave my phone number to strangers? Or do I not do that? And I did that the first time. The first time, I say, because two people did this to me. Two people, completely separate, unattached to each other, gave Vector Marketing my phone number, and I am mad about it.
I'm mad about it, too. It's such an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, like, I don't want anybody to have my phone number unless I gave them my phone number, right? This company, who I did not know about prior to this happening, has my phone number twice from different people, which means they're definitely, like, telling employees pretty early on, because I'm sure these people have only worked for them this one summer, hey, can you give us some phone numbers so we can find other sales associates? I'm your boss and you have to do this. Dominant T-pose is apparently what my body has decided the appropriate language for this is. So there you go. And that's terrible business practice and targeting vulnerable people and extremely bad. And that's the main problem I have with Vector as a company.
So go back to the first person who did this thing.
Yes.
So you got back to this student, this fellow student that you had worked on one project with once.
Yes.
And said, what did you tell her?
I told her, hey, so I saw you gave my number to this company. I did some Googling, and these are all of its suspicious business practices that I don't agree with. Maybe you could look that up yourself. Please don't give my number to anybody else. Thanks, bye. Because I'm not a confrontational person.
Were you even that passive aggressive? I think you were like even nicer than that. Just a heads up.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This seems to be not on
sketchy. You probably won't make money from this. Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is everybody in my generation reads my texts as passive aggressive because my mom, the newspaper editor, raised me to punctuate all my sentences and make sure I'm spelling everything correctly. And to a teenager, that reads as aggression because you have periods after every sentence. So
I'm so dismayed that punctuation equals aggression. Like, okay. What was the reaction?
I got a like, okay, thanks, and then no other messages. The second person, I didn't even bother because it's like, you're gone. Like, at that point, I've accepted that you're gone. It's not my job to save you.
I guess, but they don't know, right? And they might not know even what, I don't know. I would be so curious to know what the boss is saying to say, I need 10 phone numbers.
Yeah, I'd love to get in there and hear what that boss is telling people. Mm-hmm. Like, I would feel uncomfortable giving out phone numbers of anybody on my list. Like, I don't know if I'm, like, being a high and mighty moral pinnacle here. I feel like that's a general thing. Mom, have you ever given out a phone number just to somebody like that? I don't understand.
Not
that happens.
Not a random thing, but I mean, I just gave Uncle Jason's phone number to the bank for.
But that is the bank, and they need that phone number. Like, this is the person I work for getting the phone number of a person I've talked to twice who I have the phone number of. I feel like that's a weird dynamic. Like, that would sketch me out. How often are they asking? Are they offering bonuses? I have no idea because it's within the company, and it's like, I don't want you guys to get paid to give out my phone number. And I don't want you guys to feel like you're going to lose your job if you don't give people my phone number.
Right.
And if you're choosing me, either you've given out the phone numbers of all the people you actually feel are qualified, or you don't trust this company, so you're just giving out phone numbers of people you don't like. Like, those are the two realities I see here. And neither of them are particularly good looking, I guess.
Well, another interpretation of events is that this student is early enough in the recruitment process that they really believe that Cutco, Vector Marketing, whatever, is a good way to make money. And they want to share that with somebody else, maybe.
But then I'm like, why me? It's not like I got this from somebody I'm close with. It's not like one of the people I hung out with all school year hit me up in the Instagram DM like, by themselves on their own and said, hey, I think this is a great way to make money. Do you want to come work with me? This has been really fun. It's somebody I barely know giving my number to somebody I don't know who then sends the message, which is a clear copy-paste. Okay, the second time, by the way,
yeah,
they copy-pasted the message wrong, which is the funniest thing that can happen in an MLM. And they said, hi, the person who referred me's name. And then, so it was like, I'm not going to use the actual person's name, obviously. Hi, Anna. This is Joe. I work with Anna, who has some nice things to say about you. And it's like, no, this is obviously, even if I had gotten the same message before from a different person, obviously a copy paste, right? It's like, and if you're copy pasting that message, by the way, how many are you sending a day? Well, how many people are getting these?
Yeah. And then you blocked the first one.
Yeah.
So it's coming from a different number.
Yeah. Now, completely right? Different. Yeah.
So there's like probably like a whole boiler room full of people that are just doing this.
Yeah. And like taking weird, awkward selfies with their student stuff, like weird. The pictures are very weird, by the way. Extremely, extremely uncanny valley. I've kidnapped you and I want to make sure everybody knows you're okay, so hug me kind of pictures.
Was it a real picture of that real person?
Yeah.
That you that you worked on the school project with?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so weird.
That's so creepy.
I know. Ugh. So, Mom, as a parent, what do you think parents can do to deal with this kind of thing?
Well, cultivate a relationship with your child so that the kid comes to you when they receive this message, as you did, and ask advice, right?
Yeah.
Because a grown-up can kind of say, although I would say that you had already done quite a bit of research to find the sketchiness of it, and then what you were asking me about was not, should I sell knives for these people, or should I take this cool summer job, but how do I break it to this person that I barely know that she's fallen from a scam and tried to draw me into the web, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was more, it wasn't a question about business practices. It was a question about
personal ethics.
Yeah. Well, and just how to navigate a difficult social situation, yeah. Right?
Which says a lot about the kind of person I am. Like, I'm not going to fall for your pyramid scheme, but I'm going to be really touchy about not offending you when I warn you about your pyramid scheme. So, you know.
That literally was the thing that was vexing you. It's like, how do I tell this person? How do I convey this? How do I protect my own, like, social capital here? Like, it was interesting. So, okay. So hopefully that happens, because then, I mean, you didn't need my guidance to know that this was sketchy, right? So hopefully, I don't know, you figured it out, which is good, and hopefully most people would. I don't know.
At the same time, like, I'm just going to make clear, I obviously did the research because I'm like, this is a job that I've been offered. I want to know what the job is. The message has not in any way explained what the job is. It has just said, I have a job for you. Would you like to work for me? Like, they don't even name the brand Cutco in the thing, right? That's the thing you're selling.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have no idea what you're offered me. So, of course, I did some Googling, and then, like, the third Google result was vector scam ? And then I was like, okay, so that looks not great. I did it. The message is designed to flatter you. Like, you're told, this person who you know thought you'd be a great fit for this job. That feels nice, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not immune to that. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, I'm probably not going to do this, but it's nice that she, like, thought of me for some reason. I guess I made a good impression in that group project. And then I did the research and realized, no, if anything, she definitely hates me because she thought I'd be a good fit for this garbage business.
Oh, my God. This is so fraught. Okay. But I want to bring up something else, right? Which, because you received that message on your flip phone.
Yeah.
Because you had a flip phone. And so you literally couldn't click the link.
Yeah.
You had to kind of transfer to another device and then Google it instead of going to where they wanted you to go, and thus you were exposed to other messaging about people at least questioning on the internet whether it was a scam. And so things could have turned out differently if you had, like, received that on your smartphone and clicked that.
Yeah, it could have. And, like, also learn how to read company websites critically, because I'm on the Vector website right now, and there is so little solid information on this website. There's no, this is how much we'll be paying you to start right away. Like, I'm on the facts and questions page, and there's a question, how am I paid? They give no numbers. They give no range of numbers. They give no, if you do this, you get this amount. None of that. Like, when you're searching out this job, you have no idea how much you're going to get paid for it. They hide that stuff, basically. It's all PR and fluff and, like, here's how you can be successful in your business. We believe in you. And I'm like, I don't believe in me unless I have enough information to do the thing. Like, that's like throwing me into an SAT having not taken a single high school class. I believe you can do it. I don't, like.
Yay, self-doubt. It protects you from a lot of things.
My imposter syndrome has saved me so thoroughly.
Okay, coming back to your question, what should parents do? So hopefully have the kind of relationship with your kid where your kid brings this to you if that kid needs guidance in knowing what that is. Also, like, I mean, grown-ups are not immune to MLM. It's really easy for people to sell hope to hopeless people, or to sell hope to people that need a break. And it's not everybody who would be critical, especially if they're in a position where they really need like a job. If they haven't made any money for a while, or if they haven't. I'm drawing now from my memories of when. You know, people in my family sold Amway and sold other kinds of things like that because they couldn't make very much money doing what they were qualified to do or in the job market where they were in the 80s in Alberta. And that's what happened, right?
Do you have any other, like, specific things outside of MLMs that kind of targeted around you when you were...
Well, so that Amway and Watkins products and stuff, like, various people in my family sold that at various times, and friends of my parents would have sold all kinds of things like that. And again, to each other until they didn't have
until nobody else
to,
yeah.
to buy it.
You're
from.
Swapping the same $10 bill back and forth again and again and again.
A little bit, yeah. When I was in university, at the Gateway, there was a company called Kirby Vacuums that recruited really heavily from students, from university students, to sell their vacuums. Their vacuums are very expensive, and their sales process involves basically going to someone's house, offering to clean a room for free, and then staying there for 3 or 4 hours until you browbeat the person into buying the expensive vacuum.
Yeah, like, Vector's very similar to that, in that, like, you can do Vector digitally now, like, you can hop on Skype, but you're still investing a bunch of time into trying to get somebody to buy this thing that they probably don't need and is too expensive for what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And then there's, you can look up all kinds of things about lawsuits and complaints against at the Better Business Bureau and all kinds of things against those people. But they were, again, recruiting on campus for people with kind of the sales pitch that here's how you can make a little bit of money on the side. You've got lots of flexibility. You can work around your schedule as a student. You're going to make lots of money. Come join the family. If I can find a link to it, I'll link in the show notes to the story that friend of the show, Stephen Notley, did.
Yes.
About Kirby vacuum sales. But what was different then is I think the way that they recruited people was maybe people, like, would come to campus, like you were talking about back in the 50s when people would, like, stalk grads at high
yeah,
school.
Yeah, you stand outside the door with your envelopes and then you throw your terrible job opportunities at innocent teenagers until one of them takes it.
There might have been some of that, but it might have been just also just, like, posters and like a piece of paper with a whole bunch of phone numbers on the bottom, like call this number. And you see those still, right? You can go to lots of, you know, a lamppost near you will have that sort of want to make $500 a day, no hard labor, call this number, right? And it'll be some kind of thing like this or worse.
Yeah. And all of this marketing, it's always super vague about what the job is. Mm-hmm. Because they want you to get that sunk investment of, oh, I've gone and done the interview now. They think I'm a good candidate. I guess whatever they want me to do is what I'm doing now. Like,
Yeah. There's the sunk cost fallacy is the engine that drives a lot of this thing.
Yeah.
But still, in the olden days, it was like the way that it spread was like a piece of paper on a bulletin board, or maybe a man standing at a table, or the sort of coffee klatch network of housewives that wanted to get a little bit of, you know, spending money or whatever. This industrialization of the recruitment through the technology that only reaches the teenagers and bypasses anybody who could tell them that this is a bad idea is so insidious.
Yeah, it's very scary as a, like, the amount of access they can just have to you. Like, it's the same thing where, like, you see how much data Facebook gets from you and then the targeted ads, and the shirts which are just like, I'm a truck lifter and I love my wife and also I believe in free speech and my birthday is in November. Don't mess with me. Like, those weird shirts that are generated specifically for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same kind of thing where it's just like, there's so many ways that companies can just get your information now. And it's just like, there's nothing really out there stopping it. I think another thing you can do is like try to ingrain in your kids what red flags to look out for in any situation. Like whether you're looking out for red flags in a bad friendship or if you're looking out for red flags in a bad job opportunity, like don't PSA your kids and be like, if you do this, you're bad. So like, don't rebel or else you're going to do the thing I just told you not to. Oh my God. But like, introduce, like, let them think critically about it and introduce them to that kind of thing. And if you see, like, if they mention, oh, I got this job opportunity, like, let's look over the website together or let's talk about this. Or do you know, like, how much you're going to get paid and how that works and everything? Like, start a conversation. Like, please. Because that's valuable. It's valuable.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, don't teenagers think we're all us grown-ups are dumb? Like, would you listen to us?
About working? Yeah, because I've never done that before. If I know this isn't true for everybody, but when I'm stepping into a space I don't know about, I'd try to learn as much about it as possible. So if your kid mentions, like, oh, I'm going to start work at this thing, like, ask them about it, see how much they know, right? Like, don't pry into their lives, but this is a big thing that they've probably never done before, and you can't expect them to like land gracefully on their feet if it's a bad opportunity to begin with.
Yeah, it's hard though, and because we know that a teenager's brain is wired to increasingly believe their friends more than their parents until you reach some magic age in your 20s where you realize your parents know something as well. Although that's very stereotypical, and I don't think either you or your brother are like that fully, but
yeah,
that is a thing, right?
Yeah, like it's true, but at the same time, like, don't assume your kid is not going to be responsive and then not take the initiative. That seems like scary parenting to me. Well, my kid's in the Chex Watch rebellion phase. Guess I can check out for the next 7 years because they definitely don't care about my opinion. Like, try.
Keep
please.
Trying.
Make effort.
Yeah. But the one more scary thing about this is, okay, I can encourage you to have good friends, which you have, and I can know your friends, right? But this is, you're being recruited by people that are not your friends, right? They're just random people who have your phone number because they needed to work out some kind of thing that you had to do for social.
Yep.
And I can't vet them. I don't even know them. You don't even know them until they, like, try to scam you by accident.
Yeah. I think those people, though, are less likely to get a recruitment than the people who've sent it to their close friends.
Right.
Is the other thing.
But wouldn't you think that would be, like, a damaging to your close friendship?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, but I'm the kind of friend, right? If we're close friends, I will not end our friendship because you gave my money to a pyramid scheme. My number, not my money. My money stays with me. I'm not paying for your Amway or whatever. But anyway, if you give my number to Vector Marketing and we're close friends, we aren't stopping being friends. I am mocking you relentlessly for the rest of the time we know each other. Anytime I do anything to irritate you, I will guilt trip you with the fact that you gave my number to a company that is clearly not ethical. Like, that's the kind of person I am. So, you know, don't be friends with me if you want to do that. But, like...
But yeah. You will also rescue your friend from that bad job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'd hold it over their head for the rest of time. Okay. So we've had some ups and downs in this episode, and I want to end on something that's kind of uplifting. And weirdly enough, the uplifting thing has to do with Reddit. So
what?
Gasp. Yeah. As I mentioned before, the internet culture is very anti-MLM. They call people who recruit for MLMs huns because they always jump into the Facebook message with, "Hey, hun, haven't talked to you in a while. How's the baby? Anyway, would you like to put essential oils on your new child?" Like, that kind of message. It always starts with, like, "Hey, hun."
Yeah.
So they, like, took the song from Mulan. I don't remember what the song's called, but, like, the one that's about defeating the Huns. And then they have, like, that as their banner art and everything. And this is a subreddit called r/anti-MLM. And these people have just made it their mission to share ways that they've tried to warn people about MLMs and their stories with MLMs. And Vector is existent on this. Vector is not an MLM, don't sue us, but, like, similar enough that it's also on this subreddit. And so they have posts, like, somebody posted, "I tore down all 49 Vector marketing posters in my university's fifth floor STEM area," or, people took it out of their college hallways. This one person got tricked into selling coupons for Vector and then tricked Vector into buying them lunch. Like, ways they've gamed the system once they were in it. Fun things like that. Advertisements in community college. Like, a lot of awareness, a lot of... Like, the reason I found out before I got the second message that it was a copy-paste message I got was because this is the place where I found out that it was a scam. And then I saw the same message over and over again when people were posting about, "I got texted this. Is this, like, anything? Because it looks weird." But, like, it doesn't just cover Vector, too. It covers all sorts of things that might be MLMs, and then ways you can get out of them, ways you can get family members out of them, ways you can deal with it. It's actually a really good resource, and you also get to watch a lot of people, like, Tom and Jerrying with the companies and, like, taking down posters. "You're going to buy me lunch now, and here's how I game the system, so you can too if you want to." I don't recommend trying to game the system, because the system might game you anyway, and it's just, like, a risk I'm not willing to take because I'm lazy. But, like, if you want to make $100 in a month and then quit the company, then there are resources for how to do that out there, so you can literally, like, choose to do that, and then don't give anybody's phone number to your bosses when you quit. So, like, it's actually a really valuable resource on these things that pops up quickly with a Google search, which is nice.
Wow. Shout out to Reddit. Who knew that there would be something besides awfulness?
There are lots of bitter people like me out there who want to take them down, so...
Oh, it's so interesting. There's a sort of an idiom or a proverb or something from the early days of the internet, which is the internet is like a self-cleaning oven. Bad things will happen, but then eventually over time, free communication kind of makes it possible to fix things.
Yeah.
I think the reality has complicated that statement somewhat, but this is an example of kind of how it giveth, but it taketh away, but it still giveth a little bit.
Yeah, it's a nice place. It's fun to browse. It's one of the more pleasant subreddits to browse for me, because it's just watching people, like, aggressively punching up as pettily as they can.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good job.
back on the saddle.
Yeah, it was nice to have you back with this hard-hitting stuff. Holy.
Hire me for your journalism company. I really dig into it. I do 5 Google searches and then add a personal anecdote like a real investigative journalist.
Don't diss the profession. They do more than that. But it's good. Like, you found some stuff out. That was very helpful. Yeah.
So, you know, if your kids seem to be getting into Cutco or get a message about Vector, like, talk to them about it and, like, try to stop them nicely in a way that doesn't damage your relationship. Good luck.
Always the goal.
We believe in you. Yeah. You studied for this SAT.
And nobody studied for parenting, except your father. That's a whole different story.
I believe that.
All right. We will link to everything we talked about in the show notes, which you will find at thatsathing.transistor.fm. You can subscribe to our show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever else pods are cast, including the CKUA app. You can also find us and the rest of the members of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB, at albertapodcastnetwork.com. Many thanks to Unit B for letting us record in this studio. We are on Twitter at That's a Thing YEG. You can always email us a question or a comment at thatsathingyeg@gmail.com. Is that everything?
I think that's everything.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Bye.
I got finger guns, so I'm excellent.
Yes. I gave finger guns to the hygienist while she was doing my teeth. I was tired of doing thumbs up, and she was like, just keep going, like, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, okay, yeah, we're doing that. Body language.